Hey, Sammer.
Hey, Jen.
What are you listening to this week? Welcome to What Are You Listening To This Week, the weekly podcast where we talk about our favorite songs. Some old, some new, all good. I'm Jen Tully, and this week I'm joined by Sammer Abousalbi, co-host and co-founder of the Super Awesome Mix podcast. This week's episode features some great songs, old and new. And now, on Spotify, you can listen to the show with the songs we discuss incorporated. Just search for What Are You Listening To With Music. If you're not listening on Spotify, be sure to give the playlist a listen and then tune into our conversation. With that, let's get started. Sammer, what are you listening to this week?
All right. So as you noted, I've got the new track this week. So I've been listening to Space Time Fairy Tale by Regina Spektor off of her new album Home Before and After. And I only picked this one song for a couple of reasons. So namely, like the first one is because it's 9 minutes long. It's almost 9 minutes. And I was reflecting on, like, I tend to really like long songs. And the only reason I came up with my gut answer was that for the next 9 minutes after I hit play, I don't need to worry about what I'm going to listen to after the song is over. You know, like, because like a typical song is like 3.5 minutes. I'm like, I am golden for like 3 songs worth of music. So it's great. If I find a long song that I like, I'm thrilled. But other than that, I mean, of course, it needs to be a good song, because if it's not, it's kind of torturous. So this checks that box. I think it's a very good song. I am obsessed with it. And mostly I'm obsessed with the lyrics, which I'd be happy to get into. But first, I want to know what you thought of it.
Yes, I'm exactly with you in terms of I tend to like the shorter songs, right? Like, and we've talked about some exceptions. You and I share a love of Iron and Wine. So Trapeze Swinger comes to mind as being like another really long song. But again, for me, it has to be lyrically strong in order for me to stick with it that long. And this one 100% delivers. I loved it. I hadn't heard it before you sent it over. And I just think it's like a movie, right? The whole it feels like you go through an entire movie's worth of emotions in like one song.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's how I felt. Like the first time I listened to it, this is one of those songs where, yeah, like the first time you hear it, it kind of sticks with you. At least that was my experience with it. And I love songs that do that. And I think absolutely part of it is just like you go on a journey with her. And I even love, like, I mean, there's like a straight up interlude or intermission almost, right? I mean, it feels like you are watching a musical, and even some of the elements become very kind of playful and childlike at parts of it. But then there are also like these grand swelling, like, you know, movements of sound, and her vocals, of course, are amazing. But truly, like the lyrics I'm obsessed with, like, I had a really hard time picking out the ones I wanted to talk about.
Me too.
I've whittled it down. In general, I love that she keeps repeating, I know there's no such thing as time. This verse, I know there's no such thing as time. I know there's no such thing as mine. I know there's no such thing as turning back. And I just like, I love that. I think it's so powerful. I think in general, like what I also love about this is she's talking about like space and time as like a construct, you know, not like a space-time fairy tale, but I thought that was really cool. And then the other one that I really like is This World Began Outside of Time. Some days it's yours, some days it's mine. Some days it's cruel, some days it's kind. It just can't stay the same. And I, again, like, I just think, you know, to your point, it's poetic. It's really, really beautiful. It's a powerful sentiment. You know, and I think it's something that we experience almost on an hourly basis. You know, sometimes it's kind, sometimes it's cruel, can change within the course of an hour. So I think that's part of why I've been so drawn to this one song.
Agreed. And I think it's so, you know, it's funny that you said that you were there for her, you know, the entire time with the song. And I wrote a note that said she had me eating out of the palm of her hand. You know, anywhere
nice,
she led me in this song, I wanted to go. And she leads you a lot of different places. There are mood changes. There are time changes. There are changes in the instrumentation. There's a break in the song, like you said, an intermission that comes not quite halfway through where you think the song is over. And then it goes into what sounds like tap dance. Like there's like a tap dancing solo in the middle, and you're like, what am I listening to? And then you're like and how is this working? And strangely, it is. Like, that's what I mean. Like, anywhere she brought me along on this song, I was there. I was with her every step of the way. And I wrote down the exact same lyric that you did. And she does. She goes back to it a couple of times. I know there's no such thing as time. I know there's no such thing as mine. I know there's no such thing as turning back. And she tweaks that, you know, that third refrain a little bit as she goes on each time. But that one was also my favorite. There's no such thing as turning back. I was like, wow. It's just, but the whole song, it's one of those that I recommend, like, reading the lyrics along. Well, the first time, just listen through. Just let her take you away, you know, like, just go with her on the journey. And then the second time you give it a listen, like, take a look at those lyrics, because it is, it's just so pretty. And you get to a point too where she references like my son. She says something about my son. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you get the feeling like, oh, is she singing? Is she really singing this to her children, you know? Or is this just something that, you know, is she just sort of, you know, generally like the royal we or whatever, you know, like, is she talking to everyone? But it is, it's a beautiful song.
Yeah. I'm obsessed with it. The last lyric, I was actually going to ask you, because I've been puzzled on what she might mean here. Which is, pages burn, but words return. Just watch the flames and you will learn. So I've been so curious what she means here. I guess it's like, I'm guessing thematically, just everything can, like, change, but, like, something stay the same, you know? Like, even if you burn the page, like, the words are still there. Like, you're not really actually getting rid of what you think you are.
Yeah, it's tricky. You know, it's so funny, again, that you called that one out, because I was drawn to that lyric too, and sort of the meaning. And for me, it was more like, I think we get beaten down with this message, you know, like, once you say something, you can't take it back, and words are forever, and, you know, be really, really careful. And I love that, to me, she sort of, like, threw that out the window, you know, she's like, go ahead, like, burn the page, but the words are still going to be there. Like, I can still come back with new words or the same words, or it just really felt like, it felt like she put a lot of thought into it, and maybe she didn't, you know, maybe it just came like super easy, nine minutes worth of a song, but it really felt like she put a lot of thought in it, and she was trying to find ways lyrically to translate her feelings in the best way she knew how. And it, I think it worked. And I think it also left room for interpretation, you know, for you to take away from the song what you wanted to. So I loved it on so many levels. And that's cool too. I feel like when a song hits you on multiple levels, and this one did, it feels like cinematic. I just kept writing cinematic. It's soaring. Yeah. It's so cinematic. And I was picturing, like, oh man, it would be amazing to, like, hear this song live at the Hollywood Bowl or the Greek Theater, or, you know, I was thinking of these beautiful venues where her voice would just carry through the whole hall.
I love that. Yeah. Oh, that'd be so cool. Nice. Yeah. Well, I'm happy you liked it as much as I did. I'm definitely going to continue to listen to this for some time.
Yeah, me too. I love it. It's going on all of the playlists right now. I think it's so good. And yes, thank goodness for you, because you brought us the new song. And then I also, though, courtesy of you, as I think our listeners might know by now, I was recently on Super Awesome Mix talking about my Desert Island mix. And I was fascinated by your process, how you sort of, like, carefully curate, and you go back and you make sure it's still, like, the best mix it could possibly be. And so I'm like, you know what? I need to take a look. Like, I need to go back and do a deep dive into some of the songs of my youth and, you know, like, figure out which ones are still good and which ones aren't. So I was sort of in my late high school, early college phase when I was going through that batch of songs I was sorting through this week. And so you got my late 80s, early 90s songs. So I'm really interested to hear your perspective on those. But these are two songs that I felt like really held up for me. And the first one is a song called Three Strange Days by School of Fish, and it was released in January of 1991.
Just a couple of years ago.
Right? A real long time ago. And this is one of those crazy bands, you know, they're kind of, they did have two albums, so they can't go on like the one album only list. But they, like the second album didn't do a whole lot. And they were like a Boston based band. I believe they're from Boston, and they were college age when this album came out. And I think too, you have to remember, like it was a different place in time for music. Music was harder to find. Music was harder to get. You know, you had radio, you had, and it was traditional like AM FM radio. There wasn't XM. There wasn't Sirius. You know, there was none of that. You had MTV. You had record stores like Musicland and Sam Goody and Tower Records. But you didn't have access to like everything at your fingertips that you do now. And so this song was kind of cool because I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and this band was from Boston and they were college age. So it almost felt kind of bootleg, you know, whenever we got it.
Right. Yeah.
And the airwaves were dominated with like, you know, Gin Blossoms and Toad the Wet Sprocket and, you know, like a lot of that. So this really felt alternative to me. So I'm super curious after going back and like me revisiting it and it having like all of these emotions and feelings attached to it, what fresh ears in 2022 thought of this song.
Right. No, it's so funny because, you know, I've mentioned this on the main podcast before, which is like that I've had to really train my ears to listen to music without trying to like come at it with like a, oh, you know, I've already bucketed it, you know, so I see like the date on this. I'm like, okay, well, I already know what I'm going to listen to. So I really tried, you know, and I usually end up having to listen to a song a whole bunch of times in order for me to like reset and really try to hear it. Where I landed was that I like this one. I'm actually obsessed with the opening like 30 seconds. For some reason, it sounds really familiar to me and I cannot place it. Almost as if it was like maybe it was used in a TV show or something. But like the first 30 seconds are really interesting to me and I love that. I wrote that I was a wee bit dubious of the song when the drums came in right after that intro, because I was like, oh God, this sounds like just very dated. But then like the guitar comes in and then his vocals come in and I was like, you know, I'm kind of reminded, I'm getting like a Pixies vibe from this song. Yeah. And I actually kind of, you know, to date myself, I like felt like this would be music that like Daria would listen to. I don't know if you ever watched Daria on MTV.
Yes.
But I feel like she could probably listen to this. I don't know. I got like those vibes. So I ended up liking it. I found a place where I was like, okay, I appreciate this song, you know. But it's true. Like, I think it's so hard now, to your point, to like listen to a song without all of that context. And really, you're just looking to be entertained. You want a sound that you want, and all of the sounds that you want are available to you. So it's like, well, if it doesn't check that box, then you move on. So I think it's like, it's kind of a muscle to try to like appreciate a song for what it is and not necessarily what you are looking for.
And so much of it for me, you know, I attach sentimental value to songs too, you know, so much of it is like time and place for me. And there was a radio station back in the day in the Dallas-Fort Worth area called The Edge, and they were like the alternative kind of music station. And so this one landed on The Edge and was in rotation. And I just think too, like, again, talking about lyrics, like they present like this really crazy story. The song starts out, "For three strange days, I had no obligations." And it just takes off from there, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. So I like that too. Like, I like that journey that we kind of go on with this guy for these three strange days. And I love the drums in the song. I like the guitars. I like the opening too. It is kind of like creative and strange, and especially for the time it was. So yes, Three Strange Days by School of Fish. That's a pretty obscure, that might be the deepest track that I've gotten into on the show so far.
It is a pretty deep cut, yeah, of music libraries. Yeah,
right.
I like it.
Well, and then the second song, like as I was going through and like I said, sorting through the good ones and the bad ones, and there were lots of bad ones. There were lots of songs that I thought were really good and like, not so much. So the second song that I've been listening to and sort of reevaluating and decided I still like it a lot is a song from an Australian band called Boom Crash Opera, and the song is Dancing in the Storm. So Dancing in the Storm was released in 1989. And this band, you know, it was funny. They were kind of riding the coattails of like INXS a little bit and Midnight Oil, like some of the big bands that had come out of Australia. And they did really well in Australia, didn't get a whole lot of like airplay here, and like couldn't kind of like, it seemed like the record label couldn't kind of figure out where they went and why they weren't working. I always thought they sounded a little bit like a dancier Crowded House, you know, like it was that melodic to me. And I love this song in terms of just its message. And if you can imagine, you know, like a 18-year-old high school girl, you know, this has like all of the feels in it as well. And so I just think that this is one of those like kind of overlooked gems of the late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah, I had no idea the existence of this song, this band, this group, you know. So this was really fun to kind of like, you know, find something new. I really enjoyed this song. I love kind of the positive vibe to it. I feel like it peps you up to listen to it, especially the ending. I also felt that they sounded familiar. And it wasn't until I read a comment of someone else on the internet being like, you know, that they sound kind of like Tears for Fears. And I was like, right, mm-hmm. I could see that. Like, that was like that, you know, connected the dot for me because I was very more familiar with Tears for Fears than I was with Boom Crash Opera. Well, the other thing that made me, you know, I love the lyrics. I wrote out here, gone are the days of complacency, gone are the nights with no partner, gone is the way that we used to be, now the corner is turned, heaven knows we've learned. And I like that, you know, I like, again, like the vibe and the messaging of the song, like you mentioned, is really cool. And just this whole sense of like, yeah, turning the corner and going forward and feeling good and like leaving kind of, I guess, you know, sad things behind, like complacency and not having a partner, I guess, you know, presumably for a lot of people, it's relatable. It's very sad. The other thing that I thought was interesting is that, like, you know, and it never occurred to me to listen to this song, but even the vocals, like even his voice has like an 80s sound to it. And I was like, that's so fascinating, because I do think that, like, if you just listen to a singer sing, you could probably spot the decade that they were singing in. And I'd never really thought about that, you know, like instrumentation change, like our musical taste kind of change, and how we compose songs. But I never really considered that, like, also literally how people sing them has like kind of a theme through the decade. So this was like that aha moment for me listening to that. And I thought it was really interesting. And I think it's because like the vocals are great on it. And so it made me actually pay attention to that.
It's so true. And again, this was like a really interesting time, like late 80s, early 90s was a really strange, cool time for music. You know, you had like the Manchester sound coming out. So you had like the Happy Mondays and Stone Roses and New Order. Grunge was like just getting its legs. So like Soundgarden's Louder Than Love album and Pearl Jam and Nirvana, right. Mudhoney, you know, you had all of these that were kind of killing the pop songs of the 80s. It was like a total reaction to all of the glam rock and MTV pop of the 80s. So music got like darker and deeper. And I love that. I definitely went through that phase, but I love like the pureness of this song, right? It was mm-hmm. like, it was poppy and happy, and it was sort of like the last bastion of innocence, you know, before like these really dark, heady songs kind of took over the airwaves. A funny story, like a side note story, is I tried really hard to make this our class song when I was in high school, when I was a senior.
Nice.
I'm like, this would be perfect. This would be great. And like the senior executive council, you know, got together, which I was a very lower tier member of. And everybody was like, no, we're definitely not using this song. Like this is not happening, Jen. So then I'll continue the story and just say, then they ended up in a deadlock where they couldn't agree. So we had to split our songs. So we had a class song and then we had a prom song because they wouldn't, like, it was a stalemate. So we ended up with On the Turning Away by Pink Floyd as our class song and Unforgettable by Nat King Cole and Natalie Cole as our prom song. So Boom Crash Opera, yep. Nowhere to be found.
So sad. That's all right.
It was a sad day.
You can bring it back here today, so it's fine.
There it is. I finally got it out there. The positivity, yep, and the happy message of Dancing in the Storm. Well, indeed. As always, Sammer, I love your perspective on my crazy tunes from the 80s and 90s. So thank you so much for sharing what you're listening to this week and taking a listen to my songs. To our listeners, remember to check out the Super Awesome Mix podcast on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow Super Awesome Mix on Instagram at Super Awesome Mix. And be sure to join me again next week to find your new favorite song.